welcome to the Real Estate Experts Podcast with Jacob and Jennifer Fries. I'm Jacob.
I'm Jennifer.
And we are here today talking about tips for learning contracts. So this is going to get to be a really exciting podcast, folks. But it's very important, right?
It's extremely important.
Yep. So we're going to dive deep. Contracts are the heart of the real estate transaction and every step along the process. So what do we got, Jennifer?
Well, first of all, just by saying this will not be the most exciting podcast that we ever air, I guarantee you. For the simple fact is people don't really enjoy diving into contracts for one. It's not that much fun, but the knowledge is truly power. So just with that saying. So when you're new, I would just always recommend that you have some type of mentor. You know, you need someone that you can go to when you start to dive into the contracts. But, you know, I think people just need to understand the contract. So they need to really know the difference between, you know, I had an agent one time that really had trouble determining what was a listing and what was a contract for sale. And I mean, and once she got it, and she was extremely bright. It's just that there's a lot of information in the paperwork, right?
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
We're not attorneys, so we're going to be saying that over and over and over. We fill in the blanks. Mm. However, it's very important that we understand the contract so we know how to maneuver through several different types of scenarios for our clients and what's in their best interest. So, you know, first of all, you know, in the very beginning, you want to talk about an offer and there needs to be consideration and, you know, what parties are involved in that transaction, you know, and then you got to think about the property details, how they're written. And then just the purchase price, the contingencies, and then the closing terms. I mean, that is really the heart of a contract, but there's just so much to learn. And so it really can be, especially in the very beginning. And even, you know, I say it like this, agents should really review the contracts once a year because our associations do make changes throughout the year and change the wording. So it's important for us to know exactly what they say. And understand it. So,
well, like you said, it's key to have maybe a mentor or a great team leader such as yourself to fall back on.
Correct. Just the other day, I have a new agent that I'm working with, and you know, we did it the old fashioned way. We actually printed it out, which I know that sounds really weird, you know. But when you're going over a contract, and I'm explaining the terms and everything that's in it. You know, she was taking notes, which is great. I love to see someone taking notes. When someone is not taking notes and I'm going over a contract, I'm really kind of leery, you know, do they really understand, you know, and within a, you know, couple of tries, I usually can tell whether someone's been paying attention and listening and taking detailed notes.
Yeah. So if you are going to read over a contract, let's say for the first time, let's say you're a new agent, what would you recommend to start with?
So, I mean, I would just recommend that they actually read the contract. And I know that sounds kind of silly. You're going to laugh about that, but I can't tell you how many people don't even read the contracts. I mean, in fact, that was one of the things when I first went to the office that I'm at right now, KW, I just remember asking questions about the contract and someone making a comment, oh, you actually read those?
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, which they were really happy that I wanted a copy of everything, you know, and that I was going to go through it thoroughly. And so, but I mean, that it's truly important to not only to read it, but to understand what it's saying. And if you don't understand it, go to your broker. You know, your principal broker is going to be happy, or your, you know, team, you know, go to your team. You know, ask someone that's been in business a little while to explain some of these things that you don't understand. And if you still don't understand, then you need to seek legal advice. And of course, that's always the direction that we give our clients, that if there's something about the paperwork they don't understand, we want them to seek legal advice as well. So, but you really need to pay attention to the language and the clauses. You know, understand there's going to be certain things that can impact your client, you know, during the transaction that, you know, really makes, you know, an impact in the sale and implications and things that can happen. So, you know, you just really want to take note of any terms that may require, you know, negotiation so you can kind of clarify. So
now, just to clarify, is there a need to have an expiration on a contract?
you're speaking in regards to something that came up this week,
oh,
right?
Oh, a little specific, yes.
Okay. So in regards to an expiration, you know, expirations on contracts are great, right? I mean, you put them in there for reasons. A lot of times you don't, you know, there's a lot of reasons to have an expiration date. Do you have to have an expiration date on the contract? No, you don't have to have a date, you know. However, you're just hoping that the other agent's going to get the, you know, paperwork over to the parties to get them signed in a timely fashion and everything's going to be great. A lot of times, you know, when I am working with great agents, I don't worry so much about an expiration timeframe. But if I'm not quite sure who I'm working with, you know, and I'm a little leery, I'll put an expiration date on there, you know. But I want to also, you know, be mindful of the seller not knowing where they're at and how easily, you know, an agent can get in touch with them and things such as that. So just kind of be mindful, you know, but yes, you may have a contract without an expiration date on it.
Yes.
And a time.
Yes.
So it's still legal.
Good.
And binding.
Yep. Good to clarify that. What would you say is questions that agents should ask when they don't understand?
First of all, I hate to say it this way, but just from experience, I'm going to say, I ask them, when they ask me a question, I say, well, have you read it? And when I ask that, you would be very surprised how many times they come back and go, no, I just wanted you to explain it to me. So with that being said, I still want them to read it. I want them to try to comprehend it because they are going to need to know it well enough to be able to explain it.
Right.
So they can truly take whatever I have to say, right, and summarize it in some fashion. But it's going to be a lot more natural when it's coming from them, you know, how they want to explain it when they're going over the paperwork with someone. So
how many, so it is a lot of words.
And it's okay not to know something. I mean, let me say that.
Yeah.
First of all, you know, there's things that I still don't know and I still ask questions and I call the real estate commission with questions. And I just think it's a good practice to have, you know, a good working relationship with your principal broker as well as the real estate commission. Ask questions if you don't know the answer.
You know, that actually reminds me of something that Simon Sinek said one time, and I don't remember if it was in an interview or if it was in one of his books, but it was very interesting. He was a guest in a boardroom, and there was something being said in the board meeting, and he didn't understand it. And he could look around the room and kind of tell by the other people's faces that they didn't really understand it either, but nobody was willing to speak up. And so you had this high-level board meeting happening in a large corporate company, and he decided to finally raise his hand, like, hey, I don't understand. And then people started piling on. I don't get it either. So, you know, sometimes it's just asking a question. Don't be scared to ask.
Absolutely. And don't make assumptions. You know, I mean, that's one of the things that there's a lot of legal issues that can go on. And sometimes, you know, when we're writing up the contract and we just assume something, you know, that our client wants it a certain way, we need to clarify with them when we're typing up and presenting the offers that all the information that we do have and that we're presenting is to be accurate and correct. And it's the way they want it drawn up. I mean, I always ask my clients if there's something in particular, a special clause they want something in, that, you know, that the wording of that is exactly the way they want it. So
tell us, when you're training a new agent, how you go about practicing with them on the contracts.
So we print out the contract and they actually have it in their hand and I go over it just like, you know, I explain, you know, I go from the very beginning to the very end and I explain it in detail. They take notes. And then basically the next time, then I ask them to take their notes, to read over them and to read the contract and then come back. And then I'm going to give them scenarios and they're going to type one up and they're going to present it to me and try to, you know, as best as they can, explain it to me as they go through it.
So it's like role playing
exactly,
with a client.
Okay. Exactly. And it really does work really well. This is the best way for agents to learn. And so sometimes some of them will go home and practice on their husbands and their kids, you know, and things like that. So, I mean, you know, It's just family fun on a Thursday night, right?
Oh, yeah. Some really good times for the kids. So how long is a typical contract? Because it is a lot of words and it can get confusing for somebody that doesn't read.
You know, honestly, I mean, every state is different. I mean, I have seen contracts as short as 2 pages and then contracts as long as 20 pages and then other contracts that are like 10 pages. So sometimes some of the best contracts are just fewer pages, but they have a place where you can do, where you can check a box and add other documents to it, because not every transaction is going to have all these scenarios related to it. And it seems it bogs down buyers and sellers with information that maybe doesn't pertain to it. However, you know, every state has attorneys that draw up the contracts.
Right.
For realtors and associations. And so they get to put their legal term to everything. And so, you know, all we can do is just fill in the blanks, you know, at that point. So depending on what state you're in, you know, how many documents, you know, that might be. So
let's talk about amongst dealing with contracts, of course, is negotiating. So talk to me a little bit about some tips for negotiating.
Well, practice listening.
Okay.
I think that you have to really listen to the people that you're working with, so you understand what points of the paperwork they really want. You know, what is the most important? What is the biggest takeaway? And things like that when you're negotiating. But are you speaking in relationship to the contract or just a takeaway for other agents learning how to negotiate? What is your...
Yeah, takeaway from just in general negotiating, because amongst dealing with contracts, of course, comes negotiating.
So, you know, this is the silliest thing about it. When it comes to negotiation, you should learn how to negotiate everything. And that's one of the key things about learning to be a good negotiator is that, you know, you negotiate everything you do. And so, you know, now
I can relate to that in our marriage. There's negotiating.
Lots of negotiation going on, right? So basically one of the things is, I mean, you're not going to go to Walmart, right? And go to the cashier and try to negotiate what you're going to pay for, you know, I don't know,
I don't
a
think
perishable
you have much luck.
Item, right? However, it, you know, you are supposed to learn how to negotiate. So, you know, let's just say you're at a hotel or you're getting a car, you're you know, at a dealer, you know, but you've flown in somewhere and you're going to rent a car. I mean, why not try out some of those skills? I mean, you should try it out everywhere you go. You should try to negotiate everything. That way you just get really good. I mean, there are some tips that I could share. So, but
there you
yeah.
go. I like it. Okay. Let's dive deeper into, so buyer's contracts and what to really focus on there.
So, I mean, I will say that all buyers, the first thing that they really care about is the price. You know, a lot of times it just boils down to how much money is it going to be, right?
Yep.
I mean, how much is
exactly.
this going to cost me, or how much is my mortgage payment going to be? You know, so you're first going to talk about price and you're going to talk about financing. Those two are very important. And then there's a thing called contingencies. And, you know, that's going to be whether it's a home inspection, appraisal, what type of financing, you know, does that other party have a house that they need to sell? You know, and so and then that gets into a whole other ball, you know, if there is. And so, but then you also are going to help your client basically through the process of the inspections. I mean, the inspections and a repair list. And, you know, the one thing I'm going to say about inspections, how important it is to review the inspection report as a realtor, how important it is to review the inspection report with your client, actually go over it in detail.
So wait a minute. So you don't just get the inspection from the inspector and just fire it off in an email and just let the client deal with it?
I don't believe that's the way to practice being a good buyer's agent. No. I think that you don't get a copy of the inspection. Your client's going to get a copy of the inspection first. And so they actually get to see it. And then once they've authorized that you get a copy, then a copy will shoot over to you. But, you know, usually what I do is I'll schedule an appointment. If I can, I like to do it one-on-one. If I can't, then we'll do it by FaceTime, Zoom call, or just a conference call. But I like to go over the entire contract, make sure that there is absolutely no questions that they have, You know, I'm known to Google items when I see things on an inspection report to see, you know, approximately how much it's going to cost. Because, you know, a lot of times, I mean, we're not, you know, I mean, I know we look like we wear all these hats, but I'm not an electrician. I'm not a plumber. And so there's just all these things, you know, that we're expected to know and have knowledge of.
Right.
And we have a lot of knowledge. Don't get me wrong. We really do. And we've dealt with a lot of things. However, we just don't know exactly what that plumber is going to charge to come over and do something. So it's always good just to kind of have some ideas that you can kind of share with your clients so they know what the expenses are. I always want to set up expectations ahead of time.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, it's time for station identification. You can find us on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, the Real Estate Experts Podcast, and also where you find all your podcasts. Now a break from our sponsor. Our sponsor today is The Roofing Experts. We stand behind our roofs so you can stand under them. So let's dive back into further on buyer's contracts. So let's keep moving there. What's our next thing that we need to be paying attention to?
Well, I mean, you need to be definitely communicating, you know, during the whole process. You know, there's an appraisal that's going to be done. You need to be touching base with the lender. And you need to be keeping your client up to date with all this information, you know, inspection dates, start sending them, you know, they need to be getting in touch with their insurance agent, you know, getting quotes on insurance. I mean, there's just a lot of things that go into it. And so it's hard to believe that so many people actually touch this paperwork, you know, through the entire process, but there is. So there's title work and all kinds of things that have to be done. So communication. Make sure that everyone's meeting the deadlines and the timelines. That's extremely important.
Right.
Lenders, you want to keep them in the loop. You're going to have earnest money or a non-refundable deposit of some kind. And so make sure you have all that lined out and your client knows what to be expected, when the money's due, where it's supposed to go, and how it's supposed to be delivered. That's important. And then all your disclosures, there's going to be, you know, different disclosures and addendums and things like that that have to be signed. And so we want to make sure that the money's getting in escrow properly. And, you know, the things about a contract is I don't think everybody realizes that, you know, and that's where negotiation is so important. And that's why I say, you know, learn to be a good negotiator and start negotiating your way through life. So when you really, you can use your skill in this business at that point, because
I think that's,
you
great
know,
advice.
When you have a contract, you know, you've got the contract price, you know, that's always the most thing that everybody wants to talk about. But there's always financing terms as well. Sometimes sellers were asking that they pay some of the closing cost. And so, you know, that's kind of important part of it. But you also have other times, once you've actually reached an agreement on a contract, you will have to go back for an inspection, possibly negotiate that. You may have to go back and negotiate if someone is selling their house. I mean, you may need an extension. Or it could be, you know, that someone had a survey and it's not satisfactory. I mean, there are several things that could come back that you have to go back and renegotiate the contract on several levels. So,
right. Well, so let's talk about escalation clauses, because those, I feel like I've talked to agents here and there, and until I met you, I didn't really understand what an escalation clause was. In fact, I didn't even know it existed. So there are a lot of new agents in the market now since COVID. And so let's talk about that a little bit. What is an escalation clause?
So first of all, just to kind of, you know, in full disclosure, you know, I mean, I've been in real estate for over 31 years, and escalation clauses were just never really talked about. Until this new market hit, right? And so,
multiple offers
yep. situations. So an escalation clause, basically you spell out, you know, in your contract what you're willing to pay, right? And then an escalation clause basically says, okay, I'm willing to pay more if there is an offer on the table, you know, that's greater than my offer. I'm willing to pay X amount of dollars over my original price. However, I will not go up to X amount of dollars, right? However, if that escalation clause is used, then that other agent has to send over a copy of the other offer. So your client, you can share that with them to know that basically someone did push their offer up. So just last night I was doing this. And so I can just say, so an offer was at 175. We used $3,000 as the increment. And then we were willing to go up to 199.5. The situation with us, though, my buyer was willing to waive any inspections, which is really unheard of. Most people don't, right?
Right.
And so I got a text last night from an agent saying, hey, there's an offer and it's above the asking price. I'm getting ready to present. Do you want to go up? I called my client. You know, we discussed it. We felt like our offer was a great offer. We were willing to go up to 199.5 with no inspections. And so, and I just told him, I said, you know, I really don't know that the other offer is going to come in that high with not having to have inspections. So basically, we ended up getting that under contract and they accepted our offer because we had the best offer in place. You know, anytime you waive inspections, I mean, there's bound to be something wrong with the property.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
No property is perfect. So we ended up getting the offer, but it was, they ended up paying, they offered 175 and they landed at 199.5. So.
Excellent. So let's talk about earnest money versus no earnest money. So you've had your license in Missouri for over 30 years. You now are selling in Arkansas. And when you came down here, earnest money wasn't as big of a deal down here. So why don't you talk through that a little bit?
Yeah, it's interesting. So, I mean, I can understand the thought process about earnest money because earnest money, when it's in the contract, it becomes muddy for agents and brokers and title companies, basically. So, for instance, if a deal doesn't go, if it didn't fly right and it's broken, then you've got to track down all these parties to get the money released. And so I think agents and I think this is a broker thing because this wouldn't be an agent thought process. So, I mean,
the brokers that have to deal with it when it falls apart.
These were brokers that said, look, this is not my job to babysit this money, you know, and I am not going to, you know, spend my days over deals that don't exist and trying to track people down that, you know, it won't come out of the woodwork. So,
right.
So basically they kind of did away with earnest money here. It's still on the contract. However, nobody collects earnest money. What they do here is they collect a non-refundable deposit and that money goes directly to the seller. So it didn't even go to the title company. It goes directly, to the seller.
Yeah.
So, and that's what they do. And they do it. And the money usually is released upon, you know, inspections and different things that have already been taken care of, but still, yeah.
But you're old school. You like that escrow money, don't you?
I like to know that everyone's got a little money there. And I guess the non-refundable deposit is a great way to do it. You know, understanding the reason behind it made it a little bit easier for me. But I always like people I like to have money there. I mean, I just think it's security for all parties.
Skin in the game. Yeah,
exactly.
So why don't you talk us through the closing process as it relates to contracts?
So, I mean, basically, as far as the closing process goes, I mean, you've got the title company, you've got your lender, you've got your realtor, you're going to do a final walkthrough, you know, all those things are going to happen. And then you go to the closing table and you sign. And I mean, today, basically, you pretty well can sign on your phone all your documents and then just show up at the closing and sign a few documents, you know, depending on, you know, who your lender is. So, and there are things called now remote closings, which is really kind of the cool thing. So for people that can't be present, they can do it remotely and would like to get a title company here on our podcast soon to discuss that in more detail.
Yes.
But I think the biggest thing that I just want realtors as well as even buyers to kind of think about, you know, if they're going to hire a realtor, that really everything that goes through that whole entire transaction, you need to always have your client's best interest at heart. So I always say I like to play really nice in the sandbox, you know, and I do. And I like for situations to be a win-win, but I still have to say to myself, who am I working for today? You know, who am I working for?
Awesome. Well, we're coming to an end of our podcast. We've had a really good conversation today. Hopefully you guys are still awake. Hopefully you weren't driving and falling asleep talking about contracts. And so
I do need to say they are legal and binding, and it's crucial to approach them with care and a lot of attention to detail and make sure that you let your clients know if there's a question, they need to seek legal advice. So I needed to say that.
Yes.
So I don't have someone coming after me.
That's right. We need to protect ourselves as well. And as we talked about at the beginning, contracts are extremely important.
Correct. So do you have a book for us today, Jacob?
I do, as a matter of fact. So recently, I started listening to Key Person of Influence, and it kind of sounds like an older book that a lot of us have listened to. And it's slightly different. This is actually by a British fellow named Daniel Pressley, and it's a really, really good book. It talks about, it just really dives deep into becoming a key person of influence. It talks about how you should have a podcast, you should write a book, and the things that come along with that. And so it's a really neat book. I've been really happy with it.
Is that why you're writing a book as well?
That is, yes.
Awesome.
It's one of the things on the docket, for sure.
Very good. Well, maybe next time we can make contracts a little bit more interesting.
Well, thank you, everyone. Our time is coming to a close. Thank you so much for being with us today. Where to connect with us? We have the YouTube channel, the Real Estate Experts Podcast, and anywhere you find your podcast. Thank you.